Ramsey TV.
I've got great news for you this morning, and that is that all will eventually know you. They will eventually understand you. They will know what you've been thinking all this time. They will understand your reasoning. They will understand your scriptures. They will understand the truth. I know that we often just say that we want people to get the truth, and of course we do. Knowing the truth is important, but part of knowing the truth is knowing you, and this is personal. And the suffering you experience is personal. The suffering you experience in being rejected, being doubted, being ridiculed, being marginalized, being written off, they're just crazy. Well, our Lord and Savior experienced the same exact thing, and so did every other prophet and apostle. Good morning, this is Martin Zender. I'm going to finish the week in my car. I'll be back in the studio Monday, but it's just been kind of catch-as-catch-can at the end of the week here. But I'm going to bring you a real message of comfort today, and I'm going to give you a scriptural precedent for this. You know, it says concerning Israel and the knowing of Christ during the kingdom, it says that all will know him. For one thing, the whole earth will be, during the kingdom, the 1,000 years, the whole earth will be covered with the word of God, saturated with the word of God as the waters cover the sea. That's appropriate because there's still going to be a sea in the 1,000 years. There won't be one on the new heavens and the new earth. But also, all will know him from the least to the greatest. And there's coming a time where everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. So there is a time of revelation coming. And as you go through your life of anonymity and your life of disgrace and your life of being shunned and an outcast and misunderstood, and even as you take the last place, I mean, you know, it's a special time when I go to conferences. I'm honored there, and I'm recognized, and I'm really, people tell me how my work has changed their lives, and I experience this at every conference I go to, and it's a great bolster. And it's a bolster for you, too, because we affirm one another. But when you go back home, it's business as usual. I mean, I live among people who don't know my role in the body of Christ, or your role in the body of Christ. This is the hard thing about conferences. At the Nebraska conference, it's such a rush when everybody's together and we're talking, and we all get each other, we know who each other are. Then you go back home and you're back to anonymity, you're back to being a nobody, and you just have to plug away in that role because it won't last much longer. And the template for this, as for everything, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who, when he was on the earth, can you imagine? I mean, the contrast for him is much greater than it is for us, but it's the same type of thing. It's just a difference of degree. When he was on the earth, he was the Son of God, and yet he was hidden. He was veiled. His own neighbors didn't know him. His own brothers, people who grew up in the house with him. That's right, Jesus Christ had brothers and sisters. After he was born, Joseph and Mary, they got to have your normal marital relations. You can read all about it in my novel, Goddess of Nazareth. Order it today. Go to martinzender.com. It's an exciting novel. I love it. I want you to love it. He had brothers and sisters, and they lived with him that closely in the same household, and they had no idea who he was. In fact, they dismissed him. None of his brothers or sisters believed him. It's incredible. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if this is true of the Son of God, how much more is it true of you? And then our Lord picks 12 guys to give the truth to, and they follow him around, and they are, as John Lennon used to call them, thick and ordinary. Not a great font of spiritual wisdom, Lennon, but they were thick and ordinary, and they didn't understand anything. He prophesied of his death, and even the chief of the apostles, Peter, tried to talk him out of it at the end of his life. They didn't get it. And even when he raised from the dead after saying that he would, after 3 days, they were stunned to the point that one of them, Thomas, didn't even believe it. I won't believe it till I see it. Oh my God, really, Thomas? Yeah, really. That's how dense they were. But what happened at Pentecost? This is what I want to point out to you. At Pentecost, 50 days after our Lord's resurrection, the Holy Spirit came upon those men and they understood everything instantly. Where before, as they're watching it in real time, when they're with him, it's all going over their head because they're not meant to get it. The parallel I'm drawing is that the people who know you, it's all going over their head. They don't know who you are. They don't know what you believe. They might know what you believe and they despise it. But the day is coming when everyone will understand everything you did. Your kids, your spouse, your friends, your coworkers, everyone is going to eventually understand and see it so clearly what you were, what you had, what you tried to give them. When the Holy Spirit came upon those men in the upper room, they got it. And they were reminded, as they wrote their accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I realize that Luke was not one of the apostles, but Matthew, Mark, and John were. Or was Mark not? Was that John Mark, maybe? Anyway, I don't know. But the Lord gave them remembrance, and everything that he had said made sense to them all of a sudden. In an instant, it made sense to them. They got it. This is going to happen. If those who disregard you, you know, if they're still alive at the snatching away, I swear to you, I'll stake everything on this, that we will be coming back almost instantaneously. This is not the teaching of Clyde Pilkington and others where we're going to meet the Lord in the air and come back to earth. No. Like our Lord, at his resurrection, he was presented, his blood was presented to God. We will be presented at the dais of Christ. We will receive our our rewards. And we'll receive the applause of God, the applause of the universe. Oh, it's going to be a good show, a really, really big show. And after that, then we are going to help our loved ones through the tribulation and they will know us. We will show up in their rooms. You will show up at their jobs and you will say, how do you like me now? And they will get it and they will understand. What am I talking about? Jobs. Nobody's going to be going to their jobs during the tribulation. When the sun is darkened for days and then later when the sun scorches people at five times its strength, nobody's going to be going to work. Nobody's going to be going to work when the locusts are banging on the window. Nobody's going to be going to work when the 200 million supernatural cavalry are killing people with noxious fumes. This is coming on the earth. People aren't going to like it, but they're going to long for the day when you are with them in the flesh as a mortal, trying to give them the truth, trying to help them understand. You are going to be unveiled to the world after you're unveiled among the celestials, to the celestials by God and Christ, and receive your rewards. I mean, this is a comfort because of the pain. Because of the pain of anonymity and the pain of disregard, it is a comfort to know that everyone is eventually going to know everything about you. As you know, I have a son, my youngest son, Paul, who's in the Christian faith, who doesn't read any of my books. I don't think they allow him. I don't think the leaders of the church allow him to read any books by Martin Zender, who happens to be his father. And the kid thinks that I'm deceived. He's in the Christian religion, mind you. He believes in eternal torment and free will and the Trinity, and he thinks I'm deceived. Well, we know this is all topsy-turvy, but the truth is going to come out, and he will know exactly who his dad was, a member of the body of Christ. And I look forward to that day. I really do. It's so satisfying that my oldest son, Gabe, really gets it. He gets all of it, and it's so refreshing and encouraging, and affirmation and a confirmation to me. And as I told you many times, I raised all my sons the same. But, you know, it's the calling and choosing of God. That's it. If you're designated beforehand for the place of a son, you will hear it and you will get it. And so it's wonderful when someone knows who you are and what you're about, especially your own son. I love it and I'm thankful for it. But that leaves my other sons. That leaves the rest of the world. That leaves your spouse, your neighbors, everybody. They all think you're a jerk now. They all think you're a weirdo. But they will rue the day. Yes, there will be some serious ruage going on when they realize who you were, what you were about, the message you were carrying, the importance of your existence on the earth. I gave a talk in Nebraska. Paul says, all is yours. I forget the verse. I'll put it down here. All is yours, whether life or death or a bunch of other things there. All is yours. It doesn't matter if I can't remember the specifics. How about the word all? All is yours. Everything exists because of you. And yet, what are you? You're a nobody. You're at the bottom of the heap. Just like Joseph, who got dreams of glory, that his father and his brothers would bow down and be worshiping him. What happened? They betray him. They throw him in a pit. The Ishmaelite traders come along, sell him as a slave to Egypt. And it's 27 years in the dung pile for Joseph until he rises as second in command to Pharaoh and saves the world from a famine, including his own brothers. There's another example for you. Joseph and Christ. Look at what happened to Joseph. Look at what happened to Christ. And that's your lot in life. We're in the middle of the movie now. We're in the middle of the movie where we're still in prison. We're still in anonymity. We're still being misunderstood by everyone. But the movie's about to change. There's always that point in the movie where you start to see the resolution. Our resolution is on the cusp. We're going to be unveiled first to Christ, to God, to the universal conclave. And then we will be unveiled to those of the earth, maybe privately, just like Jesus appeared. Jesus appeared privately to his disciples. I believe we will be appearing privately to our loved ones, privately. After we're glorified, mind you. We're going to look real good then. And I think that the Holy Spirit is going to enlighten these people at that time, just as the Holy Spirit enlightened the 12 apostles in the upper room. I believe that at that time, everyone will understand you. Everyone will finally know you. Some may be filled with regret, most of them. Of course, they're all, no, all of them will be filled with regret. Just like the brothers of Joseph. Look at the template. That's the example, folks. That's the pattern. And they groveled and crawled before him and cried. It's like, surely Joseph's going to kill us now. We're in for it. We treated him so badly. Now he's powerful. Now he's going to do us in. He's going to crush us. What does he do instead? Oh, yeah, he tries him a little bit. Oh, yeah, he tries him. He makes them realize through bitter experience what they did, how they treated him. But in the end, he gathers them in his arms. He comforts them, and he says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. There you go. And Jesus Christ will say that to those who nailed him to the cross. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And we will be saying that to our associates who now have thrown us out with the garbage. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And then we're going to bless them, and they will bless the day in return. They will bless the day that they knew us, that they met us. This is not something to be arrogant about. Obviously, this is a humbling thing. It's not something to strut around like a peacock about. It is something that is going to make you feel good. Yes, don't deny that. But it's also going to redound to the glory of God, because our glorification, because we're so closely associated with Christ and God, our glorification will be their glorification. God and Christ makes them look good when we are finally justified. We're justified now, but I'm talking about justified in the eyes of those who formerly despised you. That's coming. And I want that thought, that truth, to comfort you as you walk out the remaining days, the remaining few days of your anonymity.